Once upon a time, there was a benevolent king who ruled his kingdom with love and compassion. He was fair and he was just, but he was kind and loving and caring. And his kingdom meant everything to him. And he lived in a castle at the edge of the forest, and it was a beautiful castle, the most beautiful castle you can possibly ever imagine at the edge of the forest. And inside the castle, the king had many servants who ran the castle, and plus he had everybody in the community that loved the king. Sometimes they would get together outside and just stare at the castle. They loved the king that much. Just staring at it, adoring the beauty of the castle and the wise king that lived inside. It was a beautiful paradise. It was a lovely place. The king had a son, a most wonderful son, a beautiful, loving, caring son. He was just like the king. He cared for everybody, loved everybody, did whatever he could for the whole entire community. You've heard that the best form of government is a representative democracy, right? But actually, perhaps the best form of government is a wise and benevolent, and trusted, loving king who does the right thing all the time. That's who this king was, and that's who this son was. Well, the son went off in a faraway land, and while he was there, he was killed. And the king had no heir. And the king was upset by this, because he had so many riches, so much love, so much goodness that he wanted to share with the world, and yet he had no one to take over for him. So the king got an idea. A wonderful idea, a marvelous idea, a fantastic idea. The king said, "I will make everyone my heir." This was unheard of. He said, "I'm going to give my riches to everybody. I'm going to love everybody. I'm going to care for everybody. And the only thing that you have to do is to come to my castle and be marked as a person who is part of my kingdom. That's all you have to do." And so people flocked by the dozens to the castle so they could be marked by the king to be shown that they were part of the kingdom. And the families that came said, "Well, wait a minute. What about our families? Can our whole entire families be marked by the kingdom?" And the king said, "Yes. All it takes is a mark." So the families flocked, and they brought their young daughters and their young sons and their infants and whoever they could, and they came and they were marked by the king to be heirs of the kingdom. It was a beautiful day. It was a marvelous day. It was a fantastic day. Because those people that were in that kingdom that had that mark showed the world that they were children of the king. They were members of the kingdom, that the king had chosen them and marked them to be heirs of the kingdom. It was a beautiful thing. It was a lovely thing. Today we're talking about baptism. We're continuing our sermon series called S is for Sacred. And the thing I want to talk to you today about is that your life is sacred to God. But even more than that, God chooses you through baptism to have a special relationship with Him. Because in baptism, with the water and word, He marks you as His child. And that mark stays with you for the rest of your life. As you are in the kingdom, it's that mark that says, "I am a child of the most heavenly God." When we were raising our own children, we marked them with that mark of baptism. And then we trained them in what it was to be a child of the King. And when they got into high school, we used to actually tell them as they went out the door, "Remember your baptism. Remember your baptism. You are not just some person going out, but you are a child of the King. And we would say this to pretty much everybody that came to our house. Remember your baptism. As a matter of fact, one of my daughter's friends ended up becoming a bartender and created a drink called a Remember Your Baptism drink. This is true. So we went to his bar and had the drink. It was the most awful thing I've ever had in my whole life. Don't tell him I said that. But when you are a child of God, every day is a remembrance that you are a child of God and that you have been redeemed and that he has caused you to be his son or daughter through baptism. Now, there are rights and privileges that come with baptism. As a matter of fact, you may know this. There are countries around the world where if you can simply be born in that country, then you get all the rights and the privileges of that country. And so there are places in the world where people flock to because they don't want to necessarily be born in the country that they're in. They want to be born in a different country. And so they go to that country and they're born in that country. And the moment they're born in that country, all rights and privileges are assigned to them. This is what happens in many things. Why do people do this? Why do they go to that country? Because they want to have the rights and the privileges. They want to be heirs of everything that country has to offer. There are people that do this. The same is true for baptism. In baptism, God puts a mark on you that says, you are my beloved child. You are no longer slaves in my kingdom, but you are heirs of my kingdom. And everything that I have is now yours. Every rich thing that I have is now yours. Every blessing I have is now yours because of that mark. Now, there's lots of different ways that people look at baptism, but for the vast majority of human history, the vast majority of Christian history, that was the view of baptism, which was that in baptism, God chose you to be his heir with all rights and privileges thereof. And one of those rights and privileges we actually talked about this morning in the story of Nicodemus, which is that his Holy Spirit, his precious Holy Spirit, now lives and resides in you. It's a phenomenal thing. God's Spirit resides in you. So not only are you baptized, not only are you reminded of your baptism as you leave the door or every wake up every morning, but that God's Spirit is working inside you to give you all the joys and blessings that He has for your life. Why wouldn't you do this? Why wouldn't you go before God and become a child and an heir? Why would you not bring your children to do that? Why would you not bring your aunts and your uncles? Why would you not bring anybody to the throne of God and say, we want this person to have this mark? And we want all the rights and the privileges that come with it thereof. That's the question. And the answer is, of course, there is no reason why not. So when Philip was going along the time with the Ethiopian eunuch, and they were going by water, and Philip was telling about the kingdom of God. He says, I want to be a part of that. There's water. Let's get baptized. He said, okay. So they got out of the chariot, and he was baptized. It's that great of a thing. It's that wonderful of a thing. And when you are baptized, you then become part of the church of God. And the church of God then is responsible to help continue to grow you in your faith, so that you can be a rich and mature Christian serving God in this world around you. And that process does not happen overnight. That process, well, for Jesus, it took 3 years, right? He was with his disciples for 3 years before he kind of left the scene. So it's not an instantaneous thing. Once you become baptized and you start to learn and grow in the faith, it is a growing process. In our discipleship life cycle, we have that is the grow process. The grow process. Because God works in your life, throughout your life, to to continue to grow you so that that seed of faith that was planted in you continues to grow and to grow and to grow in your life. So that when you get to the end of your life and you are a strong, living Christian, bearing fruit, that Jesus looks at you and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant, for you have followed me and you have borne much fruit." That's what baptism's all about. Because the story about the king is true. The son did die. He went to a foreign place and did die. And he died so that you could become heirs of the kingdom. He died to open up the kingdom to every one of you. He died to save you and give you all rights thereof. For that we thank and praise God. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, we are actually having a baptism. And we had a family that wanted to baptize.